And if you would, join with me looking at Psalms 95. I want to read, first seven verses, but probably end up reading the whole thing, because I think actually verse 7 ends in a comma. I thought Paul was the one that wrote the long sentences. Psalm 95, beginning in verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God. And we are the people of his pasture. And the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. As in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. This psalm is written to the congregation of Israel. I know that, and I like that. It starts off with this first verse telling us, just giving us a hint as to who it was written to. Because in the first verse, twice the word us is written here. And then the word our is used once. What does this mean? Well, the deep meaning, in case you were wondering, is that this psalm was written to us, and it wasn't written to them, this part of it. He goes on a little bit later in the psalm, as I read, he talks about them later. But this part starts off with two words. O come. And Walter, I got to thinking about this, and I can't help, because we'd been talking about it, and I'd listened to it not that long ago, that sermon that Henry Mahan preached on public worship. How public worship is important. And he stated and seemed to prove that it's more important than private worship. Although private worship is important, but public worship is where God manifests his greater glory. And that's the first two words of this psalm. Come. Oh, come. This is, you even get that before you get to the us in this psalm. This is an instruction. Oh, come. Then he tells who's to come, us. But it starts off with the coming. Now, this is not a call to salvation in this stanza, in this psalm, in this verse. This is a call for the congregation to gather together. Oh, come, let us. They are to gather together as a congregation, and it's kind of going to be tough to do anything as us until us happens to be together. This is the instruction to those already knowing the Lord. They are to come together. And guess what? That makes it public. That makes it public by us gathering together. And this is the call for the congregation to gather. And it is very important. I wrote this down, Hebrews 10. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And the more I eavesdrop on Debbie watching the news, the more I see the day approaching. I can't help it. She's in the kitchen with the television on watching the news. So I hear about people getting their heads cut off and uprisings, unrest in the Middle East, just like I predicted. You gotta remember this stuff. I predict already, if you want to know, I predict more unrest in the Middle East next year. And more aborted peace attempts. But we are not to forsake the gathering ourselves together, especially as the day approaches. And I do want to point this part out. This is an instruction. It's not exactly a request. Oh, come, let us sing. Unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. There's no question mark there. This is what we're supposed to do. When we gather together, we are to sing of his praises. When we gather together, and we are to gather together, we are to come together. We are to sing unto the Lord. And we are to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The congregation is to gather willingly, but it is to come. That's a commandment. Gather yourselves together. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I understand this is the time of the law when this was written. And the law showed forth the commandments of God, and the gathering of the congregation was actually part of the law in several specific instances. At times, at feasts, and of course, the Day of Atonement. It was the law. Gather together. Come. But God's people, his true people, who know the rock of our salvation, do gather willingly. And the same is true today. I want to be here. And I hope you want to be here. And when I hear the words, David said it, I believe, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, if you're not glad, there is no law as far as what we're considered here in this place. You don't have to come. But if you're glad to come, come. Amen. And let us sing. And remember, the word is us. Let us sing. Now, I know there are some who have made, if you want to be nice, you can call it criticisms. If you don't want to be nice, you can call it complaints. That we seem to be divisional concerning the Bible. Yeah. We are. But it's only because this book is divisional. There you go. It ain't me. I'm not up here telling you what I think. It's his word. So not really, I'm not divisional about the Bible, but the Lord is. Christ is. See, they don't mind it in the Old Testament. See, that's that mean God back there. That's what they think. But not the baby Jesus. Hey, he ain't a baby anymore. He grew up. And B, he was and is God manifest in the flesh. The divisions are clearly written within the scriptures, Old Testament and New. I don't add them, I just see them. And I believe them. And I speak them, because that's what the book says. There is a difference placed between us and them. And there always has been. There is right now, and there always will be. And if you got a problem with that, you got a problem with the book. You got a problem with the Lord. You have a problem with his son, Jesus Christ. Who said, I came to set at variance. Division. Separation. It's a part of this book from the beginning of it to the end. And everywhere in between. I think about how John ended the book of Revelations, even so, come quickly, Lord. Amen. Us can say that. The folks that end up crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, I don't think they're going to say that. Or if they do say it, they don't mean it. That's the way this book ends. We call for our Lord to come quickly, and the world doesn't. Let us sing. Let us lift our voices louder than normal speaking, hopefully. And hopefully in harmony, in melody, in rhythm, and to me, most importantly, in the true words about our Lord. And the songs we sing are to be sung unto the Lord. That's why we're picky about what songs we pick out in this place. That's why we use this old school hymnal. There's other books that have some good songs. There are. But I haven't run across one yet. Mason's got as many as this one, other than the old Gatsby's, and that ain't got no music. Biebs. And that's old school. But it's the words that are important. The words that we sing are to speak the truth about the Lord, about the rock of our salvation. The truth is to take importance, is important over anything else that we do here and everything we do here. And that's in song, that's in speaking, that's in hopefully listening. This is a participation in the gospel. It is a partnership. Because if you all weren't here, I'd probably stay home. Because I don't know anywhere else to go. And if Walter wasn't speaking, I don't know. It was Earl before him. What we came to hear and why we all joined together was, A, we needed to be under a man that knew the truth of God. But B, more importantly, we needed to be under a man who preached the truth of God. And that made it joyful to come together. But singing is an authorized form of worship all throughout the scripture. If it's the truth. If it's the truth. It may have been just because of this, because I turned on the television yesterday. And I know Earl likes some of the Gaither things they did, but they had a video on yesterday, and they had Tennessee Ernie Ford. Oh, no, it wasn't a new video, no. Well, it was a new video, new compilation of old videos. And it's called Tennessee Ernie Ford, Amazing Grace. And Tennessee Ernie Ford sang what was known as, in the day, gospel songs. The ones I heard on the program, there wasn't no gospel in them. And there wasn't a whole lot of truth. But boy, I bet you they are going to sell a ton of them things to people. Because Tennessee Ernie Ford can sing. The man had a voice. He really did. But I listened to that. I listened, I guess, 3 or 4 songs. I actually did switch back to football games, and then I went back to that again. And it's like, because I want to see what they, you know, maybe he might actually sing Amazing Grace. I never heard it, but maybe he does. But it was actually basically an hour-long commercial for selling their video. And if you buy this video now, you will also get Gospel's Greatest Hits is sung by Alabama. I didn't know they were a gospel group now. That's one of the things Henry Mahan talked about. There are all these people who used to be these big stars, and then all of a sudden their audiences have kind of drifted away, but now they're on the trail for the Lord. I think he was talking about Roy Rogers at the time. Now it's Alabama. Before it was Oak Ridge Boys. As they get old, they get gospel. But there's no gospel in their songs. There's no truth in their songs. And that's what we have here. The songs are to be truthful, and these are to be songs about our Lord. They are to be songs of praise, of what He's done, not what I've done. They're to be about His works, His ways, His mercy, His grace, His light, His truth, His love. They're to be about Him. And that is a joyful noise. We are to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And I got to thinking about this because there is a time for what we would call silent introspection. Thinking about the things of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There is a time for contemplation, where to be alone with the Word of God and to contemplate the glories of what He has done, everything He's made, everything He has done for you, to you, and is doing in you. There are times for silence, for thoughtful prayer, and for speaking to God privately. And there are some wonderful times of quiet studying and learning from the Scriptures. And we do that individually too. But then I think of this. This ain't one of them times. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It is a joy to sing the praises of our God. It is a joy for the congregation to sing the praises of our God. It is a joyful noise. Now, I've admitted it. I sing in the shower. And generally, my only audience is the cat. And that's because she wants me to open the shower so she can get some water out of the tub. I don't know why. That's just what she likes. So if I start singing in the shower, I get the accompaniment of, meow. It ain't the same. We come here to sing and to make a joyful noise unto our Lord, unto the rock of our salvation. Out loud. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to necessarily be pretty. But it is to be joyful. I like singing about my God. I like these old psalms, Mason. Ein fester Berg. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, has He laid for your faith in His excellent word. I like those songs. They're talking about what He's done. I don't hear these songs anywhere else other than in Sovereign Grace churches. Walter, it was a blessing when we went down to Dingus. And those two songs they picked out, or three or four songs they picked out, were in our book. Now, they had them in another book, but they were good songs. Because you won't hear these songs in your regular Baptist church, or in your First Baptist church, or in your Second Baptist church. Because these songs are songs of a sovereign God who is the rock of our salvation. And that's, they won't have them. No. No, I still remember Shake Hands with Mother Again. And then that one was the one Henry told us on tape one day. Ain't it a shame to gamble on Sunday? Ain't it a shame? Ain't it a shame to gamble on Sunday? When you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And it went down the list. Ain't it a shame to drink on Sunday? When you got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That ain't the gospel, I hate to tell you. So it does not qualify as a gospel song. This joyful noise, this singing, is unto the Lord, and it is unto the rock of our salvation. And I will take that just about as seriously as I take this right here speaking.
Sure. Yeah, all of it is.
We don't have a music ministry. Walter and I talked about that on the phone. But we do minister through music in a way. And I thank God for David leading and singing. Because if he ain't here, I have to. And it's hard. There's some notes I can't hit anymore. Okay, I never could hit them. And it amuses my wife when my voice cracks. Which is okay, another blessing, I guess. But I gotta sing them. I gotta sing these songs. I want to sing these songs. I want us to sing these songs. And I want to sing unto my Lord and make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And lastly, for right now, that's who this is to, the rock of our salvation. This is to whom we are to be singing and to be making a joyful noise. Now, is the Lord and the rock of our salvation the same person? Yes. And no. I mean, yes and no. Wait a minute, my paper's upside down. I'm sorry, I should have took care of this before I stepped up here. There. Paul tells us plainly in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, speaking of the Old Testament, the Jews in the wilderness, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Amen. Paul knew exactly what he was saying. Well, there's no Christ in the Old Testament. I'm sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. That's all you can say about that. Paul knew exactly what he was saying. The rock in the wilderness, the rock that gave forth water so that the Israelites did not die of thirst in the desert, that rock of our salvation was Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the Word who was God, was with God, was God, and he came here. And he is God. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one, but they are separate. And that is shown sometimes in the Old Testament. It's not stated plainly as it is in the New, which I've got here. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. So the Lord and the rock are the same, but the Lord and the rock are not the same. But they are the Lord and the rock of our salvation. We know the Lord through the rock of our salvation. We only know the Lord through his Son, which came and testified to us he came. Jesus Christ is the rock of our salvation, to whom we are to make a joyful noise. And I'll leave you with this. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. More us stuff. It's getting repetitious, this us stuff. I'm sorry, it's throughout the scripture. That's the way it is. We are commanded to come, and we come willingly, but we are willingly commanded to come before his presence. Not just anywhere, before his presence. I don't know that I have any understanding or any real understanding of this blessing. But when we gather together, he's here in the midst. He's here. There am I. When two or three are gathered together, there am I. The reason we're gathered together is there am I. It doesn't state that Christ said he would join us. The gathering is because of him. And he is in the midst. And there am I. We today are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us sing. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I know, and this is one of the things I am very, very thankful for about this place. I've been in places where they gather together to complain. That's what they're there for. They complain about the weather. They complain about the kids. They complain about the service. They'll complain about the singing if somebody doesn't pick the right song, David. Pay attention. That's right. It's your fault. Oh, no. If the choir's off tune, then that's okay. We don't have a choir. We are the choir. We come together here. And maybe everybody's not in the best mood, but everybody seems pretty happy to be here. Thankful to be here, to gather here. And that is the Spirit of God. I never used to be happy going to church. Yes, my mother sometimes had to drag me kicking and screaming when I was a young'un. So I have to do that now. I drive here voluntarily. And I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad that we can gather together and let us sing a song unto the Lord, and to make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation, and come before his presence with thanksgiving. Because this is a blessing from God right here It is His blessing to us that we can gather together and speak together and love Him together. And this is something the world does not know. And there have been people in this place that didn't know it and didn't get it, and they left. And there may be others. But by His grace, I'm staying. And I hope you will too. Our Father, we are thankful for this day and this time to be before Your presence and to speak words of Your praise, and Your honor, and Your glory, of what You have done for us, what You have done to us, what You are doing in us, and what You are continuing to do. Thank You, Lord, for keeping us and bringing us and taking us home and bringing us back again. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.